you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to find a couple of passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 will be one of them. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. I want to kind of have a teaching session tonight. Next Sunday morning, I will begin to preach on missions. And our church is wonderfully mission-minded and mission-hearted. And I do believe that the heartbeat of God is missions. I do not believe that a church will have the full blessing of God upon it if it's not involved in missions. I believe that you in your home will not know the full blessing of God on your home unless you are participating in missions. There is a very unique blessing to having a mission mind, a mission heart, and a mission hand in giving. I look forward to preaching that over the next Sunday morning and Sunday nights for the couple of weeks. Our church has been supporting missionaries since its beginning, since its founding. Every year we try to take on more missionaries, or we try to raise the amount we send to those. You can see all of the beautiful displays that we have on every side of the hallway. As if you come over here, these are the missionaries we support in the Western Hemisphere. These are the missionaries we support in the Eastern Hemisphere. And we try to keep missions in front of our people all the time. And so before I really preach to the church as a whole, I wanted to come to you tonight because most of the Sunday night crowd is the heartbeat of our church. I'm sure that most of you are involved in the Faith Promise missionary giving of our church. And I wanted to just speak to you a moment and teach you something and show you something tonight from the platform and the context of missions that I really believe will be a truth that can be applied in every area of our life. Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 to a church that he has had, that he loves. He's writing to this church that he has had to correct. He founded this church in the book of Acts. And when he left, the church began to go into problems spiritually. Horrific problems. They didn't start that way. They started out with tremendous glory, but they find themselves in problems. So Paul writes the book of 1 Corinthians to challenge them, to confront them, to rebuke them, to reprove them. The letter works awesome. Their hearts are stirred. There's repentance that takes place. We learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10 that a godly sorrow takes place and that there is a repentant heart and a repentant mind, and the church begins to flourish once again. In the context of Paul writing back to them the second letter, this time it doesn't have the bite or the sting. It has the encouragement and the lifting to it. He tells them that he doesn't want to make them come after them again the way he did in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16... one of the issues that the Apostle Paul had to direct in the or address in this church was this issue of giving for the poor, or missions giving. The Apostle Paul always had a burden for missions. He always had a burden for the poor. I mean, he was responsible for many a murder. He was responsible for destroying many a Christian home. He was responsible for making many widows and many widowers. And so, well, after the man got saved, he never lost that that intense desire to kind of make up for what he had done and so on and so forth. When you read the book of Romans chapter 15 verses 26 and 27, when you read Galatians chapter 2 verse number 10, you read the drive of a man that is consumed with the poor or consumed with these churches that were struggling. And so what he did was, from that mindset that he was the one that had destroyed those churches, now he wanted to be a blessing to all of these mission churches. So he was leading all of his churches to give in this area of missions to support these poor, fledgling, help-needing churches. So one of the areas that he's helping them and rebuking them in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says in verse number 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, that's a mission offering. We know it's a mission offering because the tithe is not necessarily for the saints. The tithe is the Lord's. Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia," that would be Galatians 2:10, "even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." All right, so he's given them some instruction on how to operate their missions offering. And he's saying that it needs to be systematic. It needs to be every week, and you need to lay it in store. And there needs to be that practice upon the first day of the week. Now, 1 Corinthians, he's writing to challenge them. When you come over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and chapter 9, you're going to find that when he wrote 1 Corinthians, they had not followed through on what they had promised. And the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage them to do that. Look, if you would, at verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient or wise for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it." Perform what doing? A year ago, they had said that we were going to give money to missions. And the Apostle Paul took their word for it. The Apostle Paul went out and told these churches and was organizing himself to take these offerings. But they never carried through with what they were doing. And a lot of reasons for that. So when Paul wrote them 1 Corinthians, he's telling them about what they need to do because they weren't. Now 2 Corinthians is after they have already repented. Now he's writing this letter to encourage them. And one of the ways he's going to encourage them, he says, "Now guys, now that you got your heart right, I want you to go back and perform what you said you were going to do." Now, the Apostle Paul is very careful in how he approaches these people. Look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 1. "For as touching the ministering to the saints," this is that offering he's talking about, "it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many." Now look this way, so you stay with me mentally. Achaia was where Corinth was. It was a region. Macedonian is another region north of there. Philippi, Galatia, these churches are up in that part of the region. And the Apostle Paul has said, and he's ministering to the region of Macedonia, and he came into Macedonia and he said, "Listen, the church in Achaia, man, they really have a heart to give. They have a heart to be a blessing. They understand missions. You, Macedonia, ought to see what they're doing." And as the Apostle Paul was teaching Macedonia what Achaia was doing, the zeal of Achaia was impressing the Macedonian church, and they wanted to participate the way that Corinth was. And so they were an example to Macedonia. Macedonia looked at them and they said, man, we want to be part of this as well. So Paul's over here in Macedonia bragging about what Achaia or Corinth is going to do. But he understands that their initial zeal was intense, it was special, and it was unique, and it had tremendous power. But there's been some difficulty there, and that zeal has not been performed. So pick up, if you would, now in verse number 3 of chapter number 9. He says here, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Now he's been bragging to these region that Achaia, man, there's no mission church like them. But the Apostle Paul now has so bragged about them that he wants to encourage Achaia. So he's sending a group of men with this letter over to Achaia to make sure that the church is ready, that make sure that the church has been faithful, that there's been that repentant spirit, there's been that change of heart. They've been laying that offering aside every week now. And now when the men show up, when Paul shows up, he doesn't want everybody then to have to give. He wants them to be in a position where they show that they are prepared. If you're with me mentally, say amen. You're going to have to think a little bit. Then he comes back here in verse number 4. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, notice there's a parenthesis next, that we, say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Now Paul says, now if these people from Macedonia say, man, we're going with you, Paul, and we're going to go over here and see this great church, what's going on, so we can learn. If I bring this whole delegation over here and you guys are unprepared, it's not going to be a shame to you. It's going to be a shame to me. I'm not really putting the pressure on you. I'm just saying I've told them how great you are, and I don't want to get over here and then I have to eat my words. Keep going in verse number 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had notice before you gave your word, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of, say it class, covetousness. Now Paul says, now listen, I'm not wanting to put you in a position of obligation. I'm not wanting to put you in a position of begrudging. I'm not wanting to put you in a position of force, not of covetousness. I want for the church at Macedonia to see the joy in your heart of giving to missions. And by the way, if you give to missions, you know there's joy in that. And so he's getting them there. And then he goes on and talks about how God loves a cheerful giver, verse number 7, and what God is able to do. But he's trying to put this church in a position so they can be blessed. Now come back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and look, if you would, at verse number 10. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. All right? So the Apostle Paul says, you guys started, but you quit. They started giving to missions, but they quit. Now, there may be some of our church members, and you might be sitting out here, and a year ago, you had wonderful zeal and you filled out a card and you began to give and you began to do all of that, but somewhere along the line you quit. You stopped. You began, but somehow something happened and you're not doing it anymore. And Paul says, now I want you to go back here and I want you to pick up there where you stopped, and I want you to continue going forward, and I want you to be ready. Not so much because the Apostle Paul wanted them to have the money, although he wanted those churches to have the money, but he wanted them to know the joy of giving. I am convinced that if people stop giving in faith promise, the worst thing is not that the missionary doesn't get your money. The worst thing is you miss out on the miracle hand of God. But then I got to thinking, you know, this truth can be applied in all of the areas of our life. Many of God's people begin things with such a zeal. We begin to serve the Lord. We begin to read our Bible. We begin to get up in the morning. We begin to be faithful to church. We begin to love our wives. We begin to be righteous parents to our children. We begin to witness, and we have this zeal, but it seems like we start out and then we fade away. And Apostle Paul is going to link us to a thought here. He said, now you had a willing mind, but something happened in your performance. Somewhere, something gets in the way of our willingness and our performance. Somehow we have honest intentions and a zeal, but we don't carry through on certain things. So, I have a zeal. I have this desire. How come I don't follow through on the performance? What happens between the willing mind and the performing hand? I find a lot of God's people are living somewhere between that willing mind and performing hand. Not just in money, but in a lot of areas. And what happens is, once we quit, it's real hard to get started back up again. And the devil will tell you, well, you might as well wait till next year. Or, well, I don't want to go all the way back and start reading again. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to make this right. Pastor, I'm just lost. I stopped and now I'm stagnated and I don't know how to go forward. So a lot of God's people, whether it's faith promise or whether it's a different area of serving the Lord, once we quit, it's not that we don't want to get started again. We get to the place now where do I begin? Where do I pick up? Where do I read? Where do I start? And because we don't know where to begin, it gets overwhelming to us and we never do anything. So we don't sing in the choir anymore. We don't do that. We don't come to practice. We don't come in those areas. And it's not necessarily that we don't have a desire. It's just we don't know how to handle getting started again. And the Apostle Paul tells them, now listen, you're going to begin right where you are, and you're going to go there, and you're going to go forward a year. But I think I have found what happens to us in the willingness of our mind to the performance of our hand. And I want you to go to a couple of scriptures with me. I want you to go to Acts chapter 20. Please go, because I believe I can help you tonight understand a couple things. Acts chapter 20. And look, if you would, at I'll tell you when you get there. Verse 17. God gave me a thought that I got to use in 5 minutes, and I'm going to write it down. I saw Secretary Kerry writing his thoughts down. If he can do that, I can do that. All right, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, this is Paul, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He's saying, you know I've been faithful, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus is how you get saved. Verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. In the Spirit. Not knowing the, what's that little word next? Things that shall befall me there. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So here's the mindset of the Apostle Paul. He knows he's got to go to Jerusalem. He's bound in the Spirit to go back there. They hate him there. But he's going there because that's where God wants him to go. And in going there, he says, I'm not necessarily sure what things await me. I do know this. It's probably going to be afflictions and bonds is what is going to await me. Now, he didn't know the specifics. He couldn't articulate them. He just knew that there were some things there that were going to be difficult on him. Look at verse number 24. But none of these, what's that word? Things move me. Move me. Apostle Paul has a zeal and a readiness of mind bound in the Spirit of God to get to Jerusalem. And he is going to perform that zeal. He is not going to not carry through with what God has called him to do. And the Apostle Paul says, now I know that I am going to face some things, but I am not going to let things move me. You know, Pastor, I started giving the Faith Promise missions, but you know, some things came up over the year. Some things happened. My roof sprung a leak. My wife went to Macy's. That was my problem. This bill came. We did this. You know, Pastor, I was faithfully coming to church, but some things came up in my life. Whether they were material or whether they were emotional or whether they were visionary. Well, Pastor, we were on this path, but man, we just ran into some things that we just couldn't help. And all of us will run into things. Well, Paul said, I'm not going to let things move me. Move you from what, Paul? Move him from doing what God had called him to do. And so the Apostle Paul was concentrated in that. Look what he said in verse number 24. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He was saying, listen, I'm trusting in the Lord so that I might, what's that word? Finish my course. You know, Paul said, I have a work that God wants me to do and I want to finish it, and I'm not going to let things move me from it. I don't know about you, but I want to finish the work God has called me to do. If you do, say amen. On a grand scale, we have that desire, but on a daily scale and on a yearly scale, it seems like God's people have this zeal and this readiness of mind. But something happens before it gets performed, and things move us or change our direction or distract us. And Paul said, I'm not going to let that happen. I want to finish my course, and I want to finish my course with how? With joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let me tell you something. There's wonderful joy in doing what God calls you to do. And you are going to have to learn how not to let things move you away from doing what God wants you to do. Pastor, this came up. This happened. This is this. And if we're not careful, things, whether they're material, whether they're emotional, whether they're physical, whether they're with health, whether they're with jobs, whether they're with opportunities, whether they're relational, it seems like that those things, when they pop up, they have power to move me. And they move me away from finishing what God has called me to do. And listen, if you're a child of God, one of the great satisfactions you have is doing what God calls you to do. But God's people are so sensitive to being dominated by the moving of things. And we just assume that when things happen, that must be what I'm supposed to do in the moment. Listen, never will God ever allow or send anything that will distract you from doing what God wants you to do. So we get so weak in our mind, and we just let things change our direction. God's got me going this way, but all of a sudden this happens, and now I'm just going to let it move me over here. And God says, whoa, I'm over here. Who sent you over there? Well, my roof had a leak, so I couldn't give any more money. Oh, really? Really? So you think that because your roof sprung a leak, that gives you the right not to follow through with what you committed unto me? I got news for you. God's got enough money to pay for all of our roofs. So God's people need to anchor our mind to what we're doing. We get this direction from the Lord. We get this zeal. We get this understanding. We get Bible doctrine or Bible verses on it. And we're headed. And things are going to come up, my friends. And they've got power. And if you're not careful, you're going to let things move you away. When Paul gave us an awesome understanding of what he did with things, go, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Come on, you got to see this. This is a message way more important than just finishing your faith promise. This is a message that will keep you walking in the path that God has for you. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, the joy book, you should be going through this in Sunday school. All of you Sunday school teachers know exactly where I'm going. Verse number 7. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul says, I am not going to let anything exalt itself in my thinking above what God wants me to do. So if God gives you a direction and a word from Him, and God sends you on obeying Him, you're going to wrestle with things. And the choice for the believer is, does that thing take precedent over following the Lord? Or am I going to trust the Lord to take care of those things? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these shall be added unto you. We have to learn that once we're following the Lord, just because something comes up doesn't give you the right to determine and make a change, and now that thing becomes dominant. Everything in our life should be submitted to the hand of God. He needs to be preeminent. So what happens, Pastor, when you're going through and something comes up? I take that thing to the Lord and I say, now, Lord, this has come up in my life. Lord, I believe this is what you want me to do. Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I will not stop doing what you want me to do. The whole thing can burn down. They can shut every light off. They can turn all my water off. They can take all my cars. We don't have to eat anything. We'll lose it all, but I'm not going to stop tithing what belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Lord, some things have come up now in my schedule. And my schedule's turning, and I've got all these opportunities. Not every opportunity is from God. Now, Lord, I got all these opportunities, but man, I got to go to church on Sunday morning. I got to go to church on Sunday night. I got to go to church on Wednesday. I got to get up and read and I got to pray. And God, those are all opportunities and I would love them, but you know what I would love. You know what's best for me. I will not stop doing what you called me to do so I could have a blessing in these opportunities. I take that thing and I submit it to the authority of Jesus Christ and I'm just going to seek you and you can work all these things out in my life. That kind of mentality, church, keeps us in a position of walking where God wants us to walk. It keeps us in a position of finishing our courses. I dropped one course in college, and that was lifeguarding. And the reason I dropped that course was because they said jump in that pool, and they threw bricks on me. I went straight down to the bottom. This is ridiculous. Let them drown. I'm not going to lifeguard them. I'm going to a different class. I finished my course. And we start things and drop things, start things and drop things, start things and drop things. And it's almost just become a way of life to us. If something else comes up, I just go this way. But God leads and God guides and God directs and God gives us those things. And God knows when things come up in our life. He's all powerful. He's almighty. You don't ever have to make a decision. Am I going to trust God or am I going to let this thing become preeminent? Man, you ought to go to God and say, God, if we go down, we go down together. If I go down, I'm telling them, you didn't come through. But I refuse to let this thing dominate my relationship with you. I'm going to trust you because you're all I got. And by the way, he's all you need. Well, that's how you have some boldness in your life. Anything that comes up that makes you make a decision to go against the word of God is something you need to be careful about doing. Well, Pastor, if I don't address this, who's going to handle it? Oh, his name is Jesus. Amen? All right. I didn't preach this to get your money for faith promise, per se. But I hope you know the joy of finishing your commitment. Pastor, all these things came up, man. I had to get a new wash machine. I had to get a new dog. I had to go on a trip. I had to get new clothes. I lost all this weight. I had to buy clothes. I gained all this weight. I had to buy clothes. Pastor, you know, we just some things came up in our lives. Our kids, yeah, I understand that. But when those things happen, my friend, you cannot put them above the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Seek ye first. He'll take care of those things. He always does. He always does. So I know I'm going to preach on missions the next 2 weeks, but I wanted to preach to the heart of our church tonight. And I don't want us to stop. I don't want us, between the willing mind and the performing hand, you're going to have to learn how to handle things coming up. And you're going to have to learn how to say, God, did you see that hole in my roof? I need that thing fixed. I need that thing fixed. There is no roof repairman like Jesus. There's no life repairman like Jesus. Learn, church, to trust him with the difficult things of our lives. That's why he's our God. I will make all grace abound toward you so that ye always, having sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Don't let things move you. Stay anchored to that. You'll know the joy of serving the Lord. You'll know the awesomeness of finishing that. Not have this, Pastor, how do I know if things have moved me? You know it when it comes to giving if you're begrudging. Take that. I'm so sick of giving to missions. I can't wait. I'm just not going to do this anymore. If you have a begrudging spirit, then you've got your vision wrong, man. You've got all these things like their God, and you got to put them in their place. And you ought to come to the Lord, and you ought to say, now, Lord, I got all those needs. And you said if I give, it'll be given back to me. You said I could take care of it. So here's your tithe. It belongs to you, buddy. Open up them windows and pour me out a blessing. But that faith promise, you promised you'd give back to me. Here it is. God, I need it for that. Oh man, so many times in my life I have seen God come over here and miraculously take care of these needs. If you've seen that, would you say amen? Amen. He's been faithful to do that. This is a great growing message for the believer. I pray that you'll practice that. Let's have our prayer. We'll have our song and go home.